This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to With This Ring, number 16. I'm your co-host, Ryan Everett.
I'm your co-host, Cindy Everett.
And today we will be kind of reviewing the GWCW list, as all those belts are now in. So if you're listening to this for any last-second suggestions, you're about a month too late. But what we did here was we went back on the six different shows that we've done for the WCW list and picked Cindy's favorite for each show. And see how those ranked against each other, I guess.
Yeah, kind of. It's going to be hard for me to do the rankings.
Right.
And how many did you see, and how many of my top ones are your? Do we have any overlap from your week by week?
The Halloween Havoc, definitely.
I know there were some we were really far apart on, but other ones we were pretty close.
So we both liked Ric Flair versus Randy Savage.
Of course.
That was our Great American Bash / Bash at the Beach, number one. And then...
That's okay.
Ric Flair versus Ricky Steamboat, we both had it one.
Okay.
Nitro, I had a different match, number one.
Okay. That's all right.
We could talk about it as we go.
That's something we could have done in advance, but oh well.
That's all right. We'll call it on the fly.
All right.
All right. So, like I said, the first match that we both have is our unanimous Great American Bash / Bash at the Beach, number one. Well, Great American Bash. I had a different match for Bash at the Beach. But anyways, was the 1995 edition of Main Event, Ric Flair versus Randy Savage.
Featuring Angelo Poffo.
Yes, featuring Angelo Poffo with his cane.
Yeah, well, yeah, fully featuring his cane.
Yes. So... And this was kind of a rarity for the day where, well, not so much back then, because Hulk Hogan was champ and only worked like 4 pay-per-views a year.
Okay. So the Brock Lesnar schedule?
Kind of, yeah. So it's the main event without being for the title, which is kind of different, but that time period it wasn't too unusual really for WCW.
Okay. Did Hogan's dad ever come out?
No. He was on, I remember Nickelodeon had like a half hour special of Hulk Hogan.
Just like, because? Or
yeah, it was like early 90s, like him growing up and stuff.
Oh, really?
He was a chubby kid.
Oh,
and
okay.
Like before and after like the commercials, or it was like actors doing, like pretending to be young Hulk Hogan and stuff.
Okay.
But then like before the show aired, it like had like Hulk Hogan sitting at an outside table with his mom and dad, like, talking about growing up, which was kind of humorous.
That's weird.
Yeah. But he wasn't a wrestler or anything like
really?
That.
Really? Okay, yeah, I guess Angelo Poffo was a wrestler, right? So that's how he was. Yeah, it seems like some people are very ingrained or their family's not even mentioned.
And, I mean, Ric Flair.
Yeah, as we've talked about, yes.
His dad was not a wrestler, we don't think.
That's true.
We're not sure, but his...
What, the man who raised him?
The man who raised him was a doctor, and he may have... Well, I don't think he kidnapped him, but...
Yeah, don't need to go into that.
That whole agency...
That was messed up.
Yeah, that is a weird...
So yeah, why I didn't. I specifically did not ask about Ric Flair's dad for that reason.
We're not sure, maybe.
Yeah. You know what? One last thing I'll say. Nowadays, with like the 23andMe testing, he probably really could find out.
He probably could, yeah.
Essentially. Or get, like, find relative, like, blood relatives.
Yeah, somehow have a trace to common line.
Yeah.
But no, he was... The man that raised him in Minnesota was not a wrestler.
Gotcha. So, anyways. I mean, this is going to be hard to rank, obviously, because I liked them all. I feel like I should make categories of ones where there's like interference at the ending and ones that are clean. Because this one had interference.
Yes. Although not really, there is, and it's like a screwy finish, but it's not like a lot of people are getting involved.
That's, you have to kind of rank your level of shenanigans, and like, this is low level.
Yeah. Ric Flair hits an old man and then takes advantage of the referee.
Yeah, and then like, smacks. Then,
yeah, he swings the cane like a bat.
He really does. That one really connects.
It's not like, you know, sometimes with chair shots, they put their hands up and stuff. No, Randy Savage just
takes the you're right.
Straight to the head.
Yeah, so, no, I mean, I think I'm going to say the same thing. I liked it.
Yeah, yeah. I would agree.
This is your number one. What stuck out to it for you?
I think just like the two guys in it, like, it's one of Randy Savage's best WCW matches, and it's one of Ric Flair's best, like, post, I would say, like, post-Hogan coming in 1994. That kind of set off a new
trajectory,
like, wave for Ric Flair, so. Okay. Kind of like both of them at the peak of their powers that they would have wrestled each other in WCW.
Gotcha.
You know, like, I think it's, yeah. And then, yeah, just the intensity, it's, they don't.
Yeah, they go after this right away.
It's
There's
not
no,
like a Ric Flair technical match, which we'll get to next, but this is just straight up brawling, like, nonstop action.
Right.
And it's quick. I think it was, like, I want to say less than 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because, and especially the next one we're going to talk about, there was, like, some parts where it's like, okay, figure four, we get it.
Let's see the results. Yeah, 14 minutes and 42 seconds, which for a main event and a Ric Flair main event is actually pretty low.
Really?
Yeah. Let's see.
It's good. Keep it tight.
Yeah.
Can't get it done in 15 minutes.
They could tell the story in 15 minutes and leave you wanting a little more, but not feel like cheated out of it.
Right. Yeah. That's a good way of saying it.
Yeah. All right. For our next one, we went to...
Back in time.
Yes. Back in time to... Well, technically, it was our Jim Crockett Promotions show, but this was...
That was your classification.
This was 2 months after Jim Crockett Promotions had died already to this Turner to... The sale to Turner.
Gotcha.
But it was still basically the same promotion. And it's Ric Flair vs. Ricky Steamboat from Chicago, the Chi-Town
Rumble. That's right.
And it was Ricky Steamboat beats Ric Flair clean in the middle of the ring for the title.
Well, there was a ref switch thing going on.
Well, that's kind of, at the time in WCW, they were really known for, it was called the Dusty Finish.
Okay.
Where, like, okay, so Ric Flair's against Dusty Rhodes, because that's who it happened with the most, was like the referee gets knocked down, and then Arn Anderson runs in and attacks Dusty Rhodes, but Dusty Rhodes is able to throw him out of the ring, and then a new ref comes in, and Dusty Rhodes pins Ric Flair and wins, but then the original ref stands up and says that he saw Arn Anderson interfering, so it was a disqualification.
That's complicated.
Yeah. So then, so Dusty Rhodes wins the match, but not the title.
Oh, that's what this comes down
then,
to.
Yeah. So they kind of did this so much at the time that it, like, ruined certain towns. Like,
gotcha.
Like, well, screw this. Every time I go, Dusty Rhodes wins the titles, but doesn't really, the next week they overturn it.
Gotcha.
So it kind of looked like they might be doing that here, because they kind of have the same thing where the ref gets knocked down. Ric Flair throws Ricky Steamboat over the top rope, which is a DQ. And then Ricky Steamboat pins him and a different ref counts. But then they do have both refs stand up, talk about it, and raise Steamboat's hand to kind of show, like,
we're not going to
screw around this time.
No more Dusty Rhodes finish.
Yes.
They must have done that a lot, because it was like 1989 and people were already hip to it.
Yes.
Huh. Interesting. Were people like reading... Was there like a magazine where people would like write like a message board for?
Yeah, well, there's a newsletter by Dave Meltzer.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Kinda,
and he was actually in the front row.
Right.
Like,
we talked
going
about
crazy.
This. Yeah.
So yeah, he was kind of like, I mean, it was a really small percentage of people in the late '80s that knew about it, but.
Have you ever read any copies? Are they on the internet?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Some of the older ones. I mean. he's gotten better, but he wasn't a great writer at first. Like, super long run-on sentences. And
that's okay. Half the internet is a run-on sentence nowadays, so I'm sure it'd fit right in.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, the Ricky Steven one. I mean, like I said, I didn't really write a lot of notes because I liked them all, and we'd already watched them. So, like, all I wrote for the next one was, this is a fun one.
Yes, so the next one was a fun
one. It is a fun one.
It's from Nitro, Rey Mysterio Jr. and Juventud Guerrero versus Psicosis and La Parca.
Your guy.
My favorite of the luchadors, yes. And yeah, this is, like, just crazy, like, the luchador matches at their best. Like, just 6 or 7 minutes of them just flying all over the ring. Even Chubby La Parca hits a dive to the outside.
True.
While dancing on his chair at one point.
Well, how did La Parca get as far as he did, being with that sort of gimmick?
Just big in Mexico.
Was he, like, an actually good wrestler, though? Like, how did he get...
Yeah, I mean, he was
okay. Good. Well, I guess from what I've seen him, all he does is, like, take chair shots and dance around.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you need.
Well, you know what I mean.
Right. I think, like, in Mexico, it's more, like... theatrics, more so even than America, where, like, it's dives and theatrics, basically, is the two biggest things. And if you do that and get your fans either loving you or hating you, you're pretty much set.
Gotcha. Who won this? Actually, I didn't even write down who won.
Mysterio and Guerrero win. Forgot exactly how. Probably a Rey Mysterio roll-up, because... he's the bigger of the stars.
Definitely.
And then keeping with the Rey Mysterio.
Yes. I don't know, man. I almost picked the dueling monster trucks for my Halloween.
I know. That is a great Halloween Havoc match, you know. And then you couple that with the Yeti coming out. And
Doing inappropriate things.
Taking Hulk Hogan's manhood. I mean, that's a tough one. But no, we decided to go with Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio Jr., mask versus title match.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this is, I won't tell you exactly where it finished on my, but it's in my top five.
Oh, it's in the single digits, really? Yes.
So was the Ric Flair versus Ricky Steamboat match.
Okay.
They both are in the top five.
Wow.
The finish. I won't give the exact position yet.
That's okay. Yeah.
But yeah, I think this is, you know, one of the best, like, the easily the best luchador cruiserweight title match ever.
Yeah, a lot of good moves. I didn't really like how all the mask grabbing.
Yeah,
I know that was kind of the build up the drama.
Right.
But it kind of, like, took away the momentum for me a little bit.
It does slow it down a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But
I think the thing, like, with all the cruiserweight and luchador matches, and it's kind of part of the charm of them, is there's always going to be one, like, dive that's a little off and someone's not exactly there, but in this one, they are just both locked into wherever they have to be. Every dive is hit, and it's really crisp. And
yeah.
Yeah. That's just really, really well done.
Were they feuding? I forget, like, what their...
Yeah, they had, like, been doing a thing for a while where Eddie Guerrero just kind of became a dickhead and, like, started attacking Rey Mysterio. And then Rey Mysterio pinned him in, like, a non-title match.
Can't be having that.
No. And then at one point, Rey Mysterio was fighting a mysterious luchador.
It was Eddie Guerrero.
And it was Eddie Guerrero who
beat him up.
Yeah. So, yeah. Good. Very good match. A fun match.
Yeah, like I said. My notes were, I forgot about the mask grabbing. I don't care for that part, but I like all the other moves.
Yes. I would agree with that. Then we had Clash of the Champions 22, a tag team title match between Ricky Steamboat and Shane Douglas defending against Brian Pillman and Stunning Steve Austin.
That's just strange seeing him.
Yeah, with long hair.
And like that different character.
Yeah.
It was really fun to watch Steve Austin go against Ricky Steamboat, kind of like older generation versus newer.
Yeah, and then they also had the singles match. Like a year later that we also watched.
Right. This is the one where the ending kind of fell apart for me.
Yeah, it is kind of a weird ending. And like I said, they had a rematch like 2 weeks later where the Hollywood Blondes win. But it's kind of like it was like their, I'm like their C weekend show. It's like, why would you do it there? And right. Not the primetime special that like has, you know, their biggest audience ideally, but WCW.
Making their decisions.
Yes.
Bad decisions consistently.
Yes. And then the final match was Starrcade 95.
Mm-hmm.
Shinjiro Atani versus Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah, I like this one too.
Yeah. This one, it's like Otani comes out, he's got like black trunks and like little white boots. He's not very...
Yeah, doesn't have any flip flash.
Yeah, and then like all of a sudden he's doing running like flips to the outside where he's hitting a moonsault off the...
Yeah, I liked all their springboards and off the ropes. Yeah, that was cool. And they both were hitting them.
Yeah, they
were. Mahler marks.
Guerrero, you kind of expected it, but like this Otani guy, and the whole Starrcade 95 is very odd.
I think we talked about it in the main, the main show, how it was all this New Japan versus WCW.
Right, and it wasn't built up at all. Like, on Nitro, they never even showed the Japanese guys or mentioned it, which is like...
Yeah, so
Starrcade
like,
is their biggest... That would be like WrestleMania having like six matches that no one talked about the whole time on Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, that is weird. And what happened to Otani? What was the rest of his career? Was that WCW or
no? I think that was his only WCW.
They went back to Japan.
Then he went back to Japan and kept wrestling there.
Do you know what he's doing now?
I'm not sure what he's doing.
Well, not like you know.
Yeah, I'm assuming he's retired.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Wikipedia's for.
Yeah, it's in Euro. Okay. Let's see.
Oh, that's.
He's 48.
Oh, really?
He's in a company called Zero Pro, where he wrestles and is the acting president of the company.
Hmm. Oh, good for him.
It looks like he's kind of been retired, though, since 2017.
This is like a Triple H character. He comes in and wrestles all he wants.
Yeah, but I'm guessing it's something like that.
Normally he just...
Yeah, because this is all like... Yeah, like this whole... Categories 2001 to the present, but the last thing is from February 2017.
Yeah.
So.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
He was a really good wrestler. This is another good match. This is the one where I like the ending a lot with all the roll-ups.
Yeah, they have, I think it goes like three times.
They have like a lot of reversals.
Reverse. Yeah, this was good. And this also has the great commentary of Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, gosh.
Getting upset over what's a German suplex.
That's right, versus a normal suplex.
Especially if it's a Japanese man throwing it, how could it be?
Oh, jeez.
We also get a little hard way blood from Otani.
Yeah, that's right.
Nose is busted.
Yeah. No, he did a good job. It's kind of a shame that they didn't like trying to integrate them more.
Yeah, I think they would have.
Once in a while, they kind of like actually build up a rivalry and not just
one time.
Yeah.
And this was like right as WCW was starting their cruiserweight division, he would have been like a great fit for it. Even if they kind of did with what they did with Justin Liger, where like he'd come in for like 3 weeks at one point of the year and just kind of
do his thing,
have his thing, and then go away again.
Did they go back to Japan?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that Jushin Thunder Liger was just like that HB1 visa or whatever, or just come over and wrestle for a little bit.
Come
and
over,
go back.
Wrestle, go back.
Huh?
Why not?
Yeah, I just never really thought about it. I just thought he was like a U.S. citizen or just lived in the U.S.
Oh, no, he's Japanese.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, he's like lives in Japan.
Gotcha. He's a resident of Japan.
Yes. I mean, he's retired now, so.
Gotcha. Yeah. But I didn't realize they were just weren't part of the main roster.
Right.
Shows how much I know.
All right. Well, you want to rank these and then we'll do another little thing.
Okay. I don't know. They're all my,
They're all my favorites.
They're all my favorites. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Well, once again, if you asked me tomorrow, I'd probably think of a different order.
Right.
Yeah, I should have prepared this a little bit. I guess I kind of have to put the Mysterio Juventud versus La Parca Psicosis as my number 6, because I didn't really write anything about it.
Yeah, and it's... I mean, by being at Nitro, it's shorter than most of the other matches.
Yeah. put that at 6. I guess I'll put the Steve Austin one at 5 because that ending just really fell apart.
You're not big on the ending of that?
I know. But when we rewatched it, I was like, nah, this is not holding up. What else we got here?
So Ric Flair versus Randy Savage, Ric Flair versus Ricky Steamboat, and Guerrero versus Stereo. Oh, and Otani versus Guerrero.
Yeah, I think I'll put that as 4, Otani versus Guerrero. Okay.
Yeah.
I have a thing I'm influenced by your list. Okay, no, I'm not looking. I think I'm going to put the Halloween. I don't know. The 4 Gear 4 part was kind of boring. Actually, I think I'm going to put the Ric Flair Randy Savage one as 1.
Oh, wow. Okay. Right, and then 2 and 3.
I will do Halloween Havoc at 2 and Flair Steamboat at 3. My definitive.
Interesting.
I didn't vote in the official poll.
Here's your top 6, though.
So, anyway, yeah.
So,
if they didn't need tie-breaking votes, they can count these.
So, I had Ric Flair versus Randy Savage at 76.
Oh, wow.
Ric Flair versus Ricky Steamboat, as I said, is in the top 5.
Yep.
The Mysterio, Guerrero, Psychosis, La Parka tag match I had at 87.
Okay, so you made your list.
Yeah. Just, it was one of the later ones that I had to maneuver it, kind of.
How long was your list? Did you do a top 100, or?
Yeah, well, I started it with the top 150, and then from there, hit
gotcha.
Tear it down. And then, Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio, I said, is top 5. Ricky Steamboat and Shane Douglas versus Austin and Pillman, I had at 44.
Okay.
And then Otani versus Eddie Guerrero at 52.
Nice.
Okay. So, all right. And real quick, I want to take a quick moment to tell you about all the great things going on at the Place to Be Wrestling Network. Check out our new PTB Wrestling Network store and show off your favorite podcast logo with great merchandise like t-shirts, hoodies, and more. Just go to www.tpublic and type PTBW in the search.
Marty is joined by Justin for Pro Wrestling Love number 9 to continue their countdown of the 100 greatest NWA WCW matches with 2511.
The first special relations of 2021 has our trio from the UK talk Royal Rumble. They also discuss their new in-house stretch project.
The newest episode of the NWA Saturday special has Scott and Dr. G talking to Hank Aaron, followed by the next part of their GWCW ballot unveiling with matches number 80 through 71. Ooh, that'll have some of yours.
Yeah. NWA Crock and Roll begins its bi-monthly schedule with part one of their journey through Crockett TV in October 1985.
The newest ride on the highway to the Impact Zone has Logan and the guys looking at the September 10th, September 17th, September 24th, 2004 episodes of TNA Impact.
Please rate, review, and subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Just search Place to Be Wrestling Network.
Check out the Place to Be Nation Pop feed with some great shows that include The Year in Pop, PTB and Trivia Night, Laugh in Theater, Telly and T, The Great Debate, Diamond Conversations, It Was a Thing on TV, A Piece of the Action, Making Mount Rushmore, Blockbuster Rewind, and so much more. Subscribe today.
And while you are at it, subscribe to a pair of tremendous podcast feeds. First, Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position is the home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Brother Sister Rewatch Podcast, The Journey Through Infinity, and more.
Also, check out the new North-South Connection, brought to you by JT Rosero, Chad Campbell, and Aaron George. It's the official home for Wrestling Warzone, No Holds Barred, The Extreme Three-Way Dance, The Gang Gets an Always Sunny Podcast, The Ruthlessly Aggressive Podcast, TNA Never Dies, Shrink Wrapped, Rank and File, and more.
And make sure to join our rejuvenated Place to Be discussion group on Facebook. Go to Facebook, look up Place to Be, and request an invite. Discussions and fun with wrestling, movies, tournaments, and all forms of pop culture.
Be sure to check out PlaceToBeNation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent SmackDown on Fox Report, This Week in the WWE by Jon Crow, Paulie's Perspective, Ben's Unpopular Opinion, and Matt's Disney Live Action Journey.
And if you're doing any shopping from Amazon, be sure to click on the banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon. It takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. And while you're there, pick up a copy of longtime listener Adrian Cotton's second book, AWO Big Time Players, Episode 2, Continuing to Grow. It's a vivid description of the second episode of the Alpha Wrestling Organization's program, Big Time Players, and it's available as an ebook and a paperback. You can get both episodes, 1 and 2, in paperback form for $15.98.
Okay, so what's our next adventure?
So, next month, we'll just watch 5 matches that are very high on my
poll. Oh, okay.
That we haven't watched yet.
Okay.
So kinda, and then from there, I'll reveal my top 10 list.
Ooh.
In order. Or top 15, we'll see, whichever.
Okay.
One top of the matches. Yeah, top.
Match top of list. The top.
And then in March, I was thinking we should watch, I don't want to call it the worst of WCW, but just like the uniqueness of WCW.
That sounds great.
Having watched Halloween Havoc next, quite a few of the things out already without having a monster truck or Chamber of Horrors.
Right.
So we'll be looking at, they're more unique matches, some of like, they have matches outside and
gotcha.
In different capacities.
It's like an ad libs or something.
Yeah. And I mean, it's kind of looking at what made WCW their own thing.
Gotcha. Okay. So they're, how they would differentiate from WWE.
Like, and we, I mean, like we said, we saw like, you know, the first Nitro in the Mall of America.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we
That's actually a pretty good gimmick.
Yeah.
As far as like, stupid shit that they did.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's some things that are just funny to look at now, but at the time it was like, well, at least they're trying something different.
Right. Yeah, I think it was more in the execution and some of that stuff.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like the Chamber of Horrors match.
Right. Yeah, let's have an electric chair in a match for some reason.
Right. And the announcers really sold that one.
Yeah, they were very into it.
They're earning their salary that
trying
for
to
sure.
At least.
Okay, so that's gonna be March.
Yes, and then starting now already. Technically, it's the greatest WCW wrestler ever.
Poll. Oh, okay.
So that's kind of in 2017. It was greatest WWE wrestler ever. Then it was greatest WWE tag team, and then match.
Okay.
And then it was last year. It was WCW. Match. So now it's WCW wrestler.
Well, that's kind of already implicit in what we've been watching, right?
Right. So, like, I'll just kind of...
We'll so,
just,
Ric Flair.
Yeah. Well, like I was going to say, out of my list, Ric Flair is on 34 matches.
Oh, okay.
So he's
yeah.
a full third.
That tracks.
Yes. But this is also where it's not just matches. Like, Dusty Rhodes, I think, is in one match, but he'll definitely be, like, top 20.
Gotcha.
And I think it's kind of like looking at the WWE list, like Ciampa, Gargano, and Hulk Hogan have the same number of matches on
really?
My top 100
oh,
matches list.
Okay.
And Hulk Hogan is number 2 or 3. I forgot where I put him. And I don't think Gargano or Ciampa are even on the list.
Fair enough.
So
yeah.
It's kind of like, yeah,
so,
matches
yeah,
are
okay,
important,
I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's more
also,
the persona.
Yeah. So we'll watch
but
matches.
I think Ric Flair was both the persona and the wrestling.
Right, yeah. That's, I mean, top 3 for the WWE list were Randy Savage, Steve Austin, and Hulk Hogan. Which,
that makes sense.
I mean, Hogan didn't have as many great matches, but he delivered when he needed to and then had the charisma. And
right, kind of rode
so
off of that. Okay.
Read you the rules of the... There's 4 qualities that are...
Gotcha.
Supposed to be taken into consideration.
Okay.
If I can find it. All right, here's a picture of Hulk Hogan with Johnny Lawrence in.
Nice.
Crease.
Oh yeah, I've watched the 3rd season of that. Now that we're going into the sports drought, I think we can watch the 3rd season of Cobra Kai. That's all right.
We'll find it for the next. Like I said, that won't be till April. where we'll just kind of watch a couple of matches of a guy that we haven't seen yet.
Gotcha.
And just kind of, obviously you won't be ranking 100 guys, but just kind of say what you noticed about them. And
all right, fair enough.
Of that nature, I think. All right, that's kind of all for today. It's a shorter episode, but we didn't watch as many matches as originally planned due to some sleep issues we've been having at home.
Yeah, not with us, but
yes,
with the younger members. Well, and it was stuff we'd already watched before.
Right,
so.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, well, we'll join you next time when we're looking at the best of
best important question. When are the wrestlers getting vaccinated?
I don't know. I mean, Drew McIntyre just is still trying to come back from it to face a 55-year-old Goldberg at the Royal Rumble. So,
oh, really?
So that could be kind of a messy situation. Okay. But well, they have said they want 25,000 at WrestleMania, both nights, of course,
yeah.
Being in Tampa.
Oh, God. So. Healthcare workers, are they going to do what they're doing?
I mean, I don't think so. Yeah. By then, I mean, hopefully by then, some people will have vaccines.
All right. Well, then we'll still be living that virtual life.
Yes. All right. Until then, though, we will see you next time.
Bye.